It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. A new documentary series is being developed and filmed in Pittsburgh. The show follows two up-and-coming directors as they compete to make the best feature film using the same script, cast, and crew. Production begins this month with participation from a wide range of Pittsburgh groups, including Point Park University. I'm joined now in Studio A by Chris Moore. The chair is his brainchild. He is the producer of Good Will Hunting, Promised Land, and the creator of Project Greenlight. Chris Moore, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
And also with us is Point Park University Cinema Chair Nelson Chipman. Nelson, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. It's great to be here. Now, and I know that you want to jump into the interview. I just have to do a quick shout out to my kids, Jack and Oscar, especially Jack. He's a huge fan of Essential Pittsburgh and WESA, so he's listening at home now.
Well, that's great. How old is Jack?
Jack is 13.
Okay, well, he's well on his way to a bright future, I can tell already. Chris Moore, explain the premise of the Chair documentary project.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to go back a little bit. I'm going to find out who wrote that for you. But it actually came out of this concept that, you know, I've produced a number of movies, and one of the big decisions that a producer gets to make is who the director is. And you always find yourself sort of sitting on set or somewhere thinking, wow, I wonder if I'd hired that other director, would I be in this same moment right now in this project? And filmmaking is an interesting business because there's no competitors. Like, once you decide to make a specific movie, nobody goes to make the same movie two blocks down. Whereas I'm sure there's seven Italian restaurants and there's a few other radio stations, and but they don't do that in movie making. So I've always been fascinated with, well, let's really show what two directors would do with the same material and the same, you know, resources and that kind of stuff. So it came out of this idea of putting two directors together, and in a digital age, we can make the movies at a price that makes sense. And so we found a script, and we have two directors that are very different, and they're making, you know, a movie based on the same material. They don't have the same cast and the same crew.
Okay.
They have the same script. They have the same budget. They have to do it here in Pittsburgh. But then from there, they're allowed to make it their own movie and sort of create how the movie can be made and affected by the director. So the idea is it's a director challenge. And my idea was I was just going to make these two movies and put them out somehow and have the audience sort of vote on what was the, you know, who made the best version of the movie. And I think it's a fun study for me on sort of, is there really an empirical winner, right? Like, it's probably just, you know, do people really like one move more than the other, or is it their personal taste, that kind of thing.
So they have a pool of actors that they can choose from? Is that
everybody here in Pittsburgh? And we're making them like regular movies. They're having casting and auditions, and they're finding people.
We sometimes hear of an actor having been cast originally in a classic movie. For example, Bette Davis was reportedly offered the role of Scarlett O'Hara and turned it down, leading us to wonder how different Gone with the Wind might have been with her instead of Vivian Leigh, or Casablanca with George Raft instead of Humphrey Bogart as Rick Blaine, which is what the producers had originally wanted. So does this project give us that sense of how different a film can look depending on whose hands it's in?
That's my idea. I mean, that's where we've gotten a lot of support from people, you know, in trying to show that. I think that in today's world, in all honesty, the real, in the filmmaking business, movie making, director is really the central person on whether the movie turned out well or not. It's less the actor. And so I also would love to show to people that they should get to know who their directors are more so than necessarily who the stars are. Like, you know, Quentin Tarantino fans, that makes sense because Quentin writes and directs the movies. You know, Jim Cameron or Ridley Scott and these guys, J.J. Abrams, they're becoming stars in and of themselves. But for me, it would be much better if the audience at large judged things based on who is actually making it, not necessarily who starred in it.
What happens if the two directors want some of the same people? They want maybe the same cinematographer, or they want the same lead actor?
Well, we've had that a couple times, and we've tried to make it work. They can't actually have the same, like, decision-making crew because they're shooting at the same time.
So it's like choosing up sides.
So they have to pick sides, and they have to decide which movie they like better. And a lot of times it's the crew member or the actor. Now, we have some actors that are in both movies. They're playing smaller parts in both movies. That's allowed. There's no rules on what they can do. And those, I think, will be interesting interviews for the for the documentary. You also said it was a documentary series. Hopefully it will be, but right now we haven't sold it, so it's a documentary. I want to make a documentary about the whole process of watching two directors do it, and I think that'll make the vote much better. So hopefully soon we'll have a partner distributing that with us, and we'd like to do it. We're shooting it as if it's a series.
And can you talk about the script that they'll be working with?
Sure. It was a script that MTV owned. It's written by a young writer named Dan Schoeffer. And it's a coming-of-age story about Thanksgiving weekend. You know, weirdly, we did some research, and no one has decided to make that definitive movie about freshman year in college when you come back home for Thanksgiving for the first time and all the craziness that happens and the stuff that goes on. And most people have some crazy story to tell about what happened on that weekend for them. And there's also, when you come back to a small town, there's the people who didn't leave and go to college. And so it's a, you know, comedy. You know, I produced the American Pie movies, and, you know, it'll be, it has some of that. It's definitely R-rated. And I thought the script was really well written in, about that period of time. But for this experiment, I wanted to have it be a genre that people had seen before. So coming-of-age movies, pretty much everybody's seen a coming-of-age movie. So if you're going to vote, you can say, was it as good as Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Did you like it as much as Risky Business? Was it as good as Animal House? Did you like it, you know, in that way? It gives people a way to look at it and say, well, I'm not a genius about movies, but I know whether I liked it or not. So that's what the movie is. And they've taken it very different directions.
And as long as you're throwing those titles out there, does Breaking Away figure into your thinking
at all? Absolutely. It's one of my favorite movies, but it's more dramatic than it is comedy.
How will this experience impact Point Park students, Nelson?
Yeah, I mean, we got connected with Chris early on, and Chris has been a really nice supporter of the university over a couple of years, and then we visit his company when we take students on our LA showcase. And when he started thinking about this project, he came to us and said, you know, I'd really love to have students involved and would love to have an opportunity to work with the university.
What a great break for them.
Yeah, yeah. It's been terrific. I mean, for me, what was really satisfying is you know, you teach students, you're with them 4 years, and then they sort of move off into the world. But here was an opportunity to reconnect with those alums and do something to help them find employment, really in an area where there's a lot going on, but there's usually not a lot going on in film production in the middle of winter. So it's, you know, where students will or alums will work and then sort of stop and wait for the next production to come into town. Here's an opportunity for alums to work sort of continuously and sort of through the winter, which is really great. And then for enrolled students, I mean, we've got about 30 students right now that are interning on various departments.
You could have done this, Chris. You could have made this production anywhere. Why Pittsburgh?
Well, I mean, Pittsburgh, in my opinion, has a whole lot to offer. Part of it is the college. I mean, Point Park has a great program, and they're a pre-professional program. And so they have kids who know actually how to do stuff, which is valuable if you're going to be making two movies and a documentary all at the same time. But I shot a movie here 2 years ago called Promised Land that Matt Damon starred in. And I really – it's a unique space. You have a state government who very much supports filmmaking. You have a county in Allegheny County who's been very supportive of this project but is interested in more production. You have some infrastructure already built here where you have 31st Street stages and other things that, like, we're shooting there right now on one of the movies. And so there's an infrastructure here that if you're going to bring – and these are relatively low budget and it's experimental. Hopefully it becomes successful and we'll do it bigger and bigger. But I thought that was a base that would let me – sort of create it locally, because you need people locally, and you need to have crew, and you need to have actors. You also have acting schools. You also have a very vibrant theater community and other stuff here, so there are actors or professional actors who are here. So I sort of, when I was here for Promised Land, was pleasantly surprised, and we had a great experience with all of the local crews, and the unions are very supportive, and it's just an environment that all by itself is ready for production. And so you want to plug into that if you're going to do this kind of a project. And so I really wanted to come and do it again. I also just like Pittsburgh.
We're talking to Chris Moore, who is behind the project known as The Chair, in which two directors will use the same script and resources to produce two different films. And he's documenting that whole process. Also with us is Point Park University Cinema Chair Nelson Chipman, again, talking about The Chair. And Nelson, what kind of feedback have you gotten from your students about this?
It's been I'll tell you what, it's been nothing but rave reviews. I think part of it is because Chris and his production crew are so incredibly giving. So in terms of just their ability to sort of access Chris, Chris has helped bring in some speakers to engage with students, and just the learning opportunity. I mean, it's one thing to sort of bring in one production, but this is essentially three productions in one, and so many different opportunities across, again, all the departments has been incredible. So it's been tremendous feedback so far, and it's still going on, so I think it's only going to get better.
So a lot of resources in place. What can you tell us about the cinematic styles of these two directors?
Well, it's interesting. You know, Shane Dawson has his own channel on YouTube and is very successful and been making movies, and he's very, you know, sort of broad but I think heartfelt and sort of a voice of this generation. I watch him make his movie and I feel like I'm an old man. But having, you know, been there 15 years ago when we were first doing the first American Pie, there's some things that are similar, but the digital age has changed teenage life and young people's life in a way that I don't think movies have captured. And so I'd say Shane is very much, you know, looking at it in a sort of very modern, very sort of verite kind of, you know, there's different camera styles and there's going to be stuff that looks like it was on iPhones, and there's going to be, you know, sort of like a real experience these kids are happening. Anna Martimucci has been doing a bunch of these programs online called Periods, where she comes from much more the classic filmmaking school, and I think her movie will be less broad, but it'll be much more dramatic. And she has, you know, sort of gone down the road of very classic, beautiful independent filmmaking, whereas Shane is going to feel much more like a YouTube, you know, kind of sharing of this experience. And so I think it's going to be really interesting for people to see so clearly the difference and contrast of how they took this story and made it their own.
I had a question on my list of what are you hoping to get from these two directors, but I think you might have just explained it. It sounds like what you're really looking for is, more than anything else, is a contrast.
Yeah, I mean, yes, a contrast makes the competition and everything better. It also lets us, you know, have the sort of intellectual argument of, you know, what does a director really bring and how does it work? I think the other thing is to show how collaborative movie making is and how they work with their crews and the actors and what goes on. And so for the documentary, it's more just want to portray an honest, you know, experience of the two of them making a movie. For the experiment of two people making the same thing, contrast is great.
And how prominently, and we in Pittsburgh, we take great pride, of course, in our city, and you've probably found this out from bumping around with Pittsburghers in your experiences here. So I'm sure there are plenty of people out there wondering how prominently Pittsburgh will be featured in the show and in the two films.
Well, in the documentary, it's the setting, right? I mean, it is very prominent. We're also here, and we're going to say this publicly, is because we were able to convince Point Park and Allegheny County to be part of this and to help us put this thing on. So there's a lot of Pittsburgh. But also, I found during Promised Land, but now having been here, you know, for 8 months, that it's very picturesque and cinematic. So you're going to see a whole lot of the landmarks. I mean, we got permission recently to shoot at Heinz Field. We got, you know, the movies are set in Pittsburgh. They're not pretending Pittsburgh is something else. In one of the movies, it's called Hollidaysburg, so you can understand that there's a connection to Hollidaysburg, which is a real place. But certainly Western Pennsylvania is a big part of it. But Pittsburgh, as a production center in the documentary, is getting all the attention. It's local crew, it's local actors, it's local. And the ability to make it cinematic is so easy here. You have a beautiful city, you have beautiful light, you have very diverse areas. You can go small neighborhood, you can go big city, you can go, you know, Promised Land, we were shooting like we were out in the middle of nowhere. I live downtown and we get to work, you know, 20 minutes and it still looked like I was 700 miles away from any civilization. So, you know, I think it's an amazing area for filming.
Nelson Shipman, at the end of the day, when this is all said and done, what are you hoping that your students will get out of this?
Well, I think they're sort of reaching those goals now. As Chris was mentioning, I mean, being a pre-professional program, I mean, it's really within our mission to do two things, is find ways to create new work and then find ways for students to engage professionally. and therefore sort of when they're ready to graduate and move out into the real world, there's that bridge already there for them that they can make that they can cross more easily and start working professionally. So I think with that, that goal I think is already being met. And then sort of a longer term goal is that there's a season two and a season three, and that Point Park becomes sort of an embedded portion of this, and we can sort of repeat this for the students because it's really a terrific opportunity all the way around.
Chris, just before we wrap this up, I'd really like to get into the impact of when you talk about the modern age and digital filmmaking. It's like night and day, isn't it? From what it used to be where you had to buy film stock, it was very expensive. And if you were going to make a film, you had to be very careful of how you planned it out, planned your budget. Not that you don't have to do that now, but how much more accessible is it now with what people have at their disposal?
Technically, it's much more accessible. I mean, you can have editing software on your laptop and you can cut it at home. They've made it. And there's a lot of amateur filmmakers. People are making whole movies. People are making their kids' 16th birthday movies. People understand it more. Therefore, it's all about the manpower. It's about the people who learn how to use these tools in a way to tell stories well. And, it makes it much cheaper because you're right. Some of these things that were barriers to entry, like film or film processing or, having to have the special machines to edit the film, all of that stuff costs a lot of money. So you had to look at it and say, this is a big investment. And, I would argue there are some stuff that maybe didn't get made 15 years ago that doesn't necessarily need to get made now.
YouTube
and you can see stuff and say, well, I wish that guy didn't have a camera.
Yeah, right. Well, didn't the old days kind of weed a lot of that out?
Well, I think it's interesting because in my opinion, they also weeded out, sort of original voices and people who were creating stuff. So like Shane and Anna both have become, they cut their teeth on YouTube and creating stuff themselves. And so now it's a little bit more professional and it's a little bigger and they're using people who've done it before and they realize it's a bigger crew and other stuff. But so it's still weeded out in the sense of the economics because there's so much stuff back then, just getting a movie made, you'd end up on a video shelf somewhere, you'd end up, for sale, or you'd end up, if you're lucky, on television. Now there's so much stuff that, there's a 50-50, if not higher chance, no one ever sees the thing you ever did. Mm-hmm. So the new challenge is, if you made something good, is trying to get people to know it exists. And actually go find it because, we can put it up in 2 seconds. You have an iPad sitting here. We could put this conversation up now and people could go see it. Now, will anybody go see it? Nobody knows.
Why wouldn't they want to see it?
I don't know. I think these big foamy microphones are sexy.
Okay, well, that's good to know. And certainly the accessibility has given – would you say, Chris, has it given more to – the independent voice in filmmaking?
Well, that's the hard part, is it's still longer-term filmmaking or longer space. So 90-minute, 83-minute filmmaking, real feature filmmaking, still costs money. So there's independent voices in short film. There's independent voices who can just all go out and express stuff. But you still have to rally people around, both financiers, distributors, marketers, and crew and actors, to actually go make a movie. So I think the jury's still out about how many people are going to translate from the YouTube generation to becoming actual filmmakers. It hasn't proven out yet that just because you have a bunch of fans on YouTube that you're going to sell tickets to movies or that you're going to be able to sell downloads. So the jury's still out on whether those two things are going to cross over. And I think probably not, in the sense that you have a different expectation on the amateur stuff you're watching on YouTube versus stuff you might pay to see in a theater or you might want, on Netflix or whatever. And so I think that's where we are right now, is this weird phase where, people are trying to decide how they want to spend their time.
The project is called The Chair. It is two directors pitted against each other using the same script and resources. It is the brainchild of Chris Moore, producer of Good Will Hunting, Promised Land, American Pie movies, and so much more, creator of Project Greenlight. Chris Moore, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure.
Also, Point Park University Cinema Chair Nelson Chipman. Nelson, pleasure visiting with you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you as well.
Coming up, the impact of winter on business. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.